This week on The Chirp with Darren Millard, we are catching up with my good friend Colby Armstrong, the most natural guest of all time. I was part of his broadcasting career when it first started out, and I'm so impressed by what he's done. We're going to get into the Final Four, thoughts on the Conn Smythe, goaltenders in the Stanley Cup playoffs, and how Armdog managed to make his minor hockey teams, the secret that his dad taught him that got him on the AAA club. It's The Chirp with Darren Millard, next.
Boys, I'm Mike today. Just let everyone know, don't say anything stupid.
Huzzah! Oh, how'd that feel, old man?
That's a disgrace! That's a disgrace! What a joke!
Hit him, light him up, light him up.
Yeah, nice hit, that's solid.
So let's get into the Final Four, the conference finals of the Stanley Cup playoffs with Colby Armstrong, who's a player, who's an analyst, who is an advocate for mental health. We'll get into that in just a little bit because you did some amazing things. And you and I know some secrets on each other. And I give you all the credit in the world about some things that you battled through, that I've battled through, that you've helped me with. So that's on the back burner. This Final Four, the most Southern Final Four ever. Should that even matter?
No, I think it's awesome. Like, I played in the Southeast Division, which is called the Southeast Division, and now it's on the map in the last number of years, right? It was like the Thrashers, the Canes, the Panthers, the Lightning, and then forever it was the Washington Capitals that simply had to win that division and just like sweep themselves into the playoffs every year. But now that, like, the last number of years, the Southeast is dominating, you know, with the Lightning putting together what they've done, the President's Trophy last year with Florida, and now what they've done this year. And you know, the Caps have won a cup, and the Thrashers are no longer there, Darren, as we all know. But I think it's kind of cool to see the way it's gone. And what's going on with you in Vegas? I mean, your Golden Knights are forever storming through the playoffs. We almost had a Seattle-Vegas matchup, which would have been something else. And Dallas, who's, you know, seemingly right there every year lately as well with the way that they play. It's interesting. Everyone's talking about ratings, right? Like, what the hell is going to happen? But I think what we're seeing is the four teams remaining are the four teams that play a certain team style and brand of hockey that is still hockey, right? Physicality, nastiness, guys that suck to play against, scattered throughout all four of these teams. And so I think we're going to get great hockey. I think it's going to be an awesome conference finals. I think all four teams that are deserving to be there with what they've shown in the playoffs. And I love the chippiness of some of these teams and some of, like, the battle hardened game for them. So yeah. And give us the sun. Hell yeah. Give us that sun, Darren. I love it. It's speaking of mental health, it's good for your mental health. So let's go.
You know, back in the day, you would pick up Jared Stoll, or would he pick up you going to high school?
Up. He had a car. Okay, he had a sick car.
He had a really nice car going to school in Saskatoon. So that was cool. You studied hard. So I'm going to do a pop quiz, a geography pop quiz for you. The northernmost city in the conference finals, what is it?
Vegas.
Yes. Is that not crazy?
It is crazy. Yeah.
By 0.3 of a percent latitudinally over Raleigh.
You know too that every person in the media, and of course you're already there, everyone wants Vegas to get to the final, right? Because then you get to go to Vegas. It's great, right? Can you imagine? Like, we're winning. We're all winning if they can get there. So yeah, that's going to be, fun to follow. I think, you know, I don't know if you're going to ask me about it, but like, I think this might be Vegas's year. I think this might be it. As crazy as it seems, from guy with goalie mask behind him and a team that's on their fourth string goaltender right now. But they're just pretty rock solid and have star factor also involved that playing really well. So yeah, good for them. They've just, since they've came into the league, they've just been awesome to watch.
Vegas went through Winnipeg and Edmonton, but should they be Canada's team?
Yeah,
because they're the northernmost club and they've got a lot of Canadians.
Yeah, they should be. They have the most Canadians. I think they have, like, from our neck of the woods, the most Western Canadians also.
Yeah, for which sure. Is like, well, you know, Kelly McKinnon. Yeah.
Yeah. Brandon guy and going to go and get his guys and guys that get it done. And man, are they ever, right? They've just been performing like crazy. Chandler Stevenson, my guy from Saskatoon. Let's go. They got the Manitoba Maniac back just in time. What's their salary cap was like $150 million with everyone returning. But it's I like their team. I like the way they play. And I think that helps. The reason why I like them as well is because they have that kind of flavor to it, which makes me cheer for them a little bit more. And I know how many people come down to, you know, if forever they've gone to Arizona. I mean, what's going to happen there with the Coyotes, dear Lord? But I think a lot of people, because of that reason, from out in that Western Canadian area, cheer for the Golden Knights, especially Saskatoon, where I'm from. We don't have an NHL team in Saskatchewan. So I'm sure they're jumping on that bandwagon.
Could you relocate the Coyotes? I'll get in trouble for asking this question. But Saskatoon,
yeah.
Like,
I was throwing renovations. That out there.
Yeah, let's throw that out there.
Yeah,
I'll get my hand slapped for sure.
Yeah. You should never be doing that. You cannot do that. Don't even. I'll do it. Let's go to Saskatoon. It'd be great. I don't know how much it could hold it up or whatever. Winnipeg seems to be doing okay. I think it'd be kind of along the same lines. But and I know forever we were supposed to have the Saskatoon Blues, and that's why our arena there was built in hopes that we'd get something. And poor Quebec on the other side of the country is going, what about us? We did the same thing, this new cool stadium. But I would love to see a team in Saskatoon. You know, Wendell Clark is the GM, and
you're already handing out jobs. I love it.
Killer Kaminsky as like player development. And you and me would be doing the games on TV. It'd be awesome, buddy. Yeah, we'd get it all figured out for everybody. So
Tim Chevalier's the goalie coach.
That's a no-brainer, right? It's easy.
Let's bring it. I love it. For Vegas, since we were there, what's more motivation, having missed the playoffs last year during the injury plague season, or this being a fourth trip to the third round?
I think missing and coming back. Yeah. I think that was
that's funny because I was
them.
The other way of really? Being so close a couple of times and not having won it yet. So I'd love to hear your assessment.
Well, I think that's why they expect to be there. I think they're just a solid, deep, strong team. And for them to miss last year, I think was just like, you know, a kick in the you know where to them and like kind of their pride and expectation of their team. So I think that and coming back, and then there was some hiccups along the way, right? Like with injuries and would guys be back in time? So there were still lots of question marks. And I think, you know, Eichel making the playoffs for the first time and what's he going to be? And, you know, can he elevate to like this playoff Eichel? We've never seen it. I don't know what that looks like. Looks pretty damn good. So I think that's a big motivation. If I was in that situation, I'd be like, okay, after last year, like we missed, I think I picked them last year to win the cup.
Before the injuries, right? That's not a bad pick in retrospect until the injuries happen.
Yeah. And we're seeing it on the other side too, with Florida, they, you know, last year, President's Trophy and they flop out. So this year they're like, hey, let's go. So I think that's a motivating factor for them to kind of say, hey, this was just like a blip. It was brutal. It was tough. We went through a lot of stuff but this is who we are.
Can Dallas win?
I think they can. They're the kind of, I think, of all the teams remaining, like a little bit more under the radar team, I would feel. And it's crazy to say that with a lot of the star power that they have, because I think that's ultimately what got them through Seattle, right? Who's like mini, it's like Vegas light, you know, what they were.
Yeah.
And, I think that puts like Sagan stepped up when Pavelski's out. Pavelski comes back, he goes like into another dimension. They've got, you know, Heiskanen, the star that can play the entire game. Ottinger, who seems to be like the Vasilevsky of the playoffs and of their team. His record and rebound wins is like crazy, what he's doing. Jamie Benn quietly. You've got all these guys, Johnston, who's like he turned 20 the other day, scored the game-winning goal to end the series. They've got enough, I think, star power mixed with a certain style of play that I think with their team. That makes them really, really tough. Like, I don't think Vegas is going to be able to get away from them. Let's just put I think they're going to be close games. Same as what I expect in the Eastern Conference final too. Like both these teams can play pretty tight and structured and still be physical and play. Dallas, you have to watch out for because I think they can sting you. And, I'm saying that Robertson, he have two goals? I think he hit a couple posts in the last game. And can he get it going? Can he find his, scoring touch? Here in the playoffs, we'll see, but that would just be another weapon for them, I think, if they can get that going. But I do love their game. I do love the physicality. I love the structure. I think they're hard to play against. I think they've got guys in the right spots that can be difference makers. And then they also, have a little bit of that star firepower that can change games.
I have a buddy who's waiting for Tyler Seguin's bachelor party, and it keeps getting pushed back.
Is that what's happening right now?
He's like, when are we going to do this? And I'm like, don't complain. This is good for Tyler.
Yeah. On a different note, I have a buddy here in Pittsburgh, Matt Bartkowski, who's the NHL guy for a while, up and down guy. He's in Rochester right now, and they just won again. He's got three kids, and his wife's at home here in Pittsburgh going, when's this guy going to come home? Like, they just keep winning. And she's at home with three kids. So yeah, too bad with the bachelor party. They'll get to that, right?
There's a great quote from Bruce Cassidy where he says, "It hurts to win." And we're not talking about winning is a pain in the ass.
That's a different way of saying that. Yeah, it totally is. So
if you take out the regular season, who should be favored, Florida or Carolina?
Oh,
that's hard,
well,
right?
I would say probably Florida. I mean, they knocked off a Bruins team who's like the greatest team in the NHL. But we'll take that off, right? But if we have to say something, we have to use it. So yeah. What are you doing to me?
Did you just have a stroke?
Yeah, I was like, whoa, I'm connecting dots. Like, holy God. I'm the meme or whatever of the guy from The Hangover at the blackjack table with all the things going behind his head. But I think Florida. I think Florida. I mean, you know, Bobrovsky is this guy that, you know, I know is rehabbing his I guess goaltending image a little bit and coming back in and being like insane. And they knocked off the Bruins and the Leafs, who are like touted as being, you know, obviously what they were. So how are they not? I don't know. And I still think, are the Canes? I think the Canes are the favorite, you know, at least to start on home, right? Are they the favorite right now on home ice? I would assume so, with where they're at. So I like Carolina, though. I'm taking Carolina. I'll take them in seven games, I would say.
Really? And Carolina has the lowest scoring leader on their team,
mm-hmm.
like 10 points.
Mm-hmm. Who is it? Martinuk? He got all that last series.
And Aho.
Aho, yeah.
Two guys.
They get Teravainen back tonight, too, you know, for game one, which I think is big for them. Yeah, they do it by like committee. They do it by, you know, I think that the one thing about them that's so unique and different is they play a totally different style, like a team concept of play, like a lot of man on man. I think their style of play is really, really taxing and hard, which I think has given them trouble in going the distance a little bit just because it's a hard way to play. But when they're on it, there's no time and space. Look what they did to New Jersey and you know, the water bugs that they have. And, you know, it was like impossible almost to get an odd man rush against these guys. Their D are all 6'4". They can all skate. They have reach. They defend really well. Plus they chip in offensively and are dangerous at the other end. So Carolina does it really by committee in their team concept and team play. And they are a team that once they get some momentum, I'm noticing like they just put their foot on the gas and it's almost like you're drinking out of a fire hose when you're playing against them because their forecheck is just relentless. And on we do a little noon show, Chicklets Game Notes Daily, mm-hmm. Where we talk, and Ryan Whitney brought up a great point. Like Florida got through a couple of series, Darren, where they played teams that just turned the puck over and fed their game, and they're able to capitalize. I don't think Carolina does that at all. Like they are a pretty, you know, buttoned down team with regards to managing pucks and getting pucks in, and they're very, very structured that way. So it's going to be a little stuffier, I think, for the Panthers playing against a team like Carolina.
It's a good word, stuffier. I like that.
I'm a brilliant hockey mind.
Yeah.
And word guy. Yeah. I'm a word guy. Yeah. Big word guy.
I think the Conn Smythe Trophy winner, if Carolina claims the Stanley Cup, is a defenseman at this point. Slavin or Burns or somebody.
Brady Shea's played well. I mean, they've got a lot of guys that are there. I can't see anyone really. If they get there, I think it might be the old team that loses that gets. Because I don't think anyone really will jump out at you as much as some of these other teams that have guys that are able to produce and be difference makers.
Which is kind of cheap because they still had good players who produce. It's just different. And different. But I think the voting will go that way.
Yeah, I think if they get it done, I could see that being like the way it goes because – like, what do you think if Florida makes it, who's going to be their guy? Like, it's got to be probably like Bobrovsky has to be
or a Kachuk.
Guy. Kachuk, yeah. I mean, it's if they get it done and then you go the other side, right? Who's it going to be? It could be Eichel. I think Eichel's on a mission right now. Mm-hmm. And then looking at Dallas, Hintz is a beast. Yeah, Hintz is a beast. So, yeah, there's guys that stand out. And you look at Carolina and you're like, maybe Jordan Staal, he's 65% on faceoffs.
Slavin's plus 14.
Yeah, he's plus. I mean, he's never gives up. Let's look at his PDO. They'd be like the first analytical, like Conn Smythe winner. This guy with an outstanding PDO. I don't even know what that means. I just said it. His Fenwick is off the charts. Slavin, come on up and get the award. Gary Bettman, can you imagine?
By reciting that?
Yeah.
I do a radio show in Vegas every day, and the guy that I co-host is really into stats, and I'm all over him all the time. I'm like, you don't know where these are coming from. You don't know really how they impact the game, but you're throwing them out, saves, and I'm like, just watch the game.
Yeah, just watch. Watch, and that's why I said it. If you watch the game and you look at every team out of the four that are left, they all are a good team, yes, but they are all like what you think of when you think of hockey. They're exactly what you think of when you think playoff hockey, especially. They're physical, like Carolina. Yeah, okay, you might look at them and not be, they bullied New Jersey. Like,
I love watching them.
Pounded Hischier around. Like, Hughes was out and like he was battling. I give him a ton of credit. Going up against this decor that just quietly is physical, I think. But all these teams have, like, to steal the Carolina line, all these teams have jerks. They all have a bunch of jerks. And you got to have a certain amount of that, like Gudas yelling in Wohl's face when they won an OT. And he's like, they got Bennett, who will like literally take your eye out. He doesn't care. He's a lunatic a little bit. And you got to have guys that are a little reckless and guys that are impactful in that way, and especially in a 7-game series. And I think we're seeing all four teams, you know, have that aspect to their game where they're really, really tough to play against.
I would go to jail if Radko Gudas did that to me.
Yeah, what would you do to him?
Like, what would you do? I would go to jail. It would not be pretty. And I may get beat up in the end. Yeah. Probably would. I guarantee I'd get beat up in the end. But I would still go to jail after somebody did that to me.
That Gudas head in the picture of that, where his face is like, and he looks so crazy. His eyes and his beard, and he's like wooing. He's doing like a Ric Flair in his face. It's just like, that guy is a menace. How impactful has he been, though? He's been so good. He blocks shots. He's in your face. He's been all over the ice. And I gave him a ton of credit because he's an important part of that team big time when you look at what they've been able to do. But he has that to his game, right? And I think, you know, our game is so skilled now. Everyone's skilled. I got a 12-year-old in hockey, like doing circuits and doing skills. Like, listen, you got to still have that. You got to still have that in your game. And to find guys that have that in their game is going to get harder and harder as time goes on. But I think we can see the impact that it makes, you know, for their teams big time.
I love Gudas. Every time he does something that's on the line, he looks around and goes,
yeah, big deal.
What? What did
his
I do?
Whole look.
What was wrong with that? Like,
his whole
the
look
most
is
innocent.
Awesome.
Yeah, it's
his
great.
Whole look is awesome. Like, wait, do you know your track record, bud?
Let me Google you.
Yeah.
There we go.
It's really easy to see.
Did your 12-year-old do the circles like one way, other way, center ice? Or is that still
a
thing?
Well, that's so like old school, buddy. They're
oh,
doing,
sorry.
Like, crazy
I'm sorry.
Stuff. I know it's not a big deal. Like, they should maybe do a little more than that, but
do you remember you doing all... that was 3/4 of your practice.
That was literally the tryout.
Yeah.
go around the circles one way and go do the center one and then back down the other one here. Do it. Okay. Then they see you. Then they say, okay, do it with a puck. And then like you make the team or not. That's what my dad told me. My dad's like, don't screw it up. If they're getting you to do the circle thing, just push the puck ahead of you. Like Pavel Bure, he never stick handled, never overhandle it. Then you cost yourself losing it. So I just do crossovers, bunting it around like Bure. You remember how he used to do that?
Oh yeah.
So then he only stick handled when he had to. So that was the secret. That's
did you make
school.
The team?
Oh yeah, of course. Yeah. Hockey IQ
based on
off
dad.
The charts. Hockey IQ off the charts.
Right. And a wordsmith. So you could talk
the dressing
coach
room guy it. Back then too. Yeah.
Still a dressing room guy. I'm going to give you some names. Antti Raanta, Lauren Brossoit, and Alex Lyon. Do you know what they have in common? All started the playoffs and are not playing now.
That's true. Yeah.
Either by
crazy
performance or injury. Like it's insane. The goaltending thing. What's more likely? Carolina gets through by playing just Frederik Andersen, or they end up playing all three at one point. I think it's all three.
I can see all three. I mean, they've been that model for how many years now, right? Hmm. And it's so funny because I've even watched that Kachekov, who's had to come in here and there, or, you know, I was doing a game for TNT between the benches.
I know, I saw you.
And I don't even think who was playing that game. I think Raanta wasn't even backing up.
No.
I think because he played the game before, so they put Kachekov on the bench. So it's like, sometimes I think Kachekov's like their best goalie too, even though I am like a Freddie guy, but it's just, I think it's just teams believe in using, you know, more, I think a little bit and, you know, matchups and I think still keeping your guys involved. Right. Like, I think they do a good job of like giving guys a shot. So they're not totally out of it in case you have to use them. But, and I think all quality goaltenders too. So You know, guys that I think teams and coaches and players feel comfortable like playing it anyway. Can you imagine if you had like Ottinger and he gets like goes down and then they have to all of a sudden come like, it's not the same if you have like a rotating tandem right. kind of thing. So I think they're used to it. I think a lot of these teams and Ray a lot Ferrero of these goalies said, are used to it.
Ray said, if you're not going to play a guy 8 games in a row during the regular season, why would you do it during the playoffs?
Well, especially too, like I think it takes a certain animal of a goaltender to be the horse that plays the 60 some games a year. Right. And I can say that maybe even in our situation here in Pittsburgh, Murray back when Fleury left to Vegas, we're like, okay, we've never seen him be that guy. How's that going to go? Mm-hmm. It went like, okay, not great. And it's like, okay, he's got to work to become, I think, the starting guy. I think we saw that with Jari a little bit here as well. And getting comfortable with, you know, that total load of being that guy. I think if you're not used to it, and maybe some guys, it's just the way they are, right? Maybe they're good for 8 games and then they, you know, need a little reset and then they can come back and have a little run of their own. So I think they know what they got and they know what they have with their group and they know kind of the rotation of how to, you know, get the most out of their guys. It's interesting though. Hey,
it's wild. We've never seen it before. Before we skedaddle, you were part of a mental health summit for the youth in Pittsburgh, and you've been open about anxiety and you and I have had some massive conversations, basically one-upping each other. This bothered me. No, that bothered me more. And I'm really super proud of how you navigated all this because you were a natural guy, but you weren't natural in a crowd of people, that kind of thing. And you've come, so what were you doing? And give me a little bit of details.
I'm pretty good at putting on a fake face, Darren.
Well, it's a performance, right? And then you relax. But I think you're better at not the withdrawal after part. Just like the come down.
So I've learned to, you know, cope and deal with certain things. And there's obviously more tools, as you know, that we talk about the stigma and it breaking down. Mm-hmm. But yeah, there was a youth mental health summit here in Pittsburgh on Mental Health Action Day, where, you know, it was put together almost like schools, colleges, youth programs, the 3 major sports teams here in Pittsburgh, all involved in trying to, you know, come together to best serve, you know, our areas. And then from then, you know, expand on into other places. Hopefully that's the idea. And, I was there with Ryan Malone. I don't know if you talked to him much, but he's doing a lot of really great work with his foundation, the Malone Family Foundation. There's an event tonight, that he does in partnership with the Warriors hockey team, which is ex-military.
Right.
That have found healing through hockey and I think sport in general, but you know, we're hockey players. So, you know, an event that he's doing here tonight, which I'll be a part of. So, pretty cool doing that just because the numbers are crazy with military. It's like 22 suicides a day, I believe is like the craziness of this stat. And a lot of these people have found, you know, help and healing of being around a team and never played hockey before, but have just come out and done this. So we're doing that in support of that program with the Malone Family Foundation. And then it was started off this morning with that summit. So lots of cool tools out there, lots of people. And, you know, they say, you know, lean on people, talk to people, call people. It was cool. We did a meditation thing with Deepak Chopra this morning. Yeah, it was so cool. So
that would be like bucket list for me. That would be really neat.
Yeah, it was a pretty cool thing to do with the whole group there. So it was kind of cool when you take a second to kind of slow your life down and you know, how much that can actually help you mentally just to be like, okay, I'm in a pretty good spot. Life is pretty good. My family's doing okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So it was, it's been awesome. And there's been other programs here. There's Citrone 33 Foundation, Cindy Citrone, who's, you know, spearheaded this kind of summit, and does tons of work. And, in it. So my wife's involved with some of these foundations that put some of this stuff together. So it's been pretty rewarding, cool, and also eye-opening at the same time. And I'm playing in this charity game tonight, buddy. So probably get 10 points. No big deal. Yeah. I'm a defenseman now. I'd probably win multiple Norris trophies that I picked that position instead. It's so easy, buddy. Like they're like, oh, you played 28 minutes tonight. I'm like, fuck, that's nothing. So easy.
You play 8 minutes in an hour.
Yeah, it's so easy. Yeah,
that's what
so
you
easy,
do,
right? You just headband pucks, just float around up there, like it's just so nice.
Did you meet Deepak Chopra?
No, he was on a video thing that he sent in, and I was a part of this last year also with him as a part of it. And he sent in another really cool video. He seemed like an interesting guy.
If you met him, what would you call him? Like Deke, Chops,
Chopper.
What would his hockey name be?
Chopper.
Chopper.
Chopper. Yeah. Chopper. Chopper.
That'd be when you meditate, what's the first thing you, I guess you're supposed to be empty.
Close your eyes. You close your eyes.
Okay. And then what's the thought that you have to purge?
You're supposed to be, he said to be with your heart, something. I forget how it went. Like get in with your heart and focus on that. Maybe just your heartbeat. And then he just says to like, think about like what you are. Think about what you want to do. I'm a dad. That's the first thing that popped in my head, honestly.
Oh, that's good.
Being a father. And then it brought me back to thinking about, as the questions went on, about the people around my life, the friends I surround myself with, and like how great everyone is and how happy I am in that. And like how, you know, I think, you know, what really popped in my head is like health, like taking care of yourself. It's okay. Like you got to take care of yourself, whether it's working out or anything. I could be better at that, Darren. I think that's freaking obvious. Like, look at me. Yeah, it was a really good, important thing we did this morning. So if you're interested in it, check it out, look it up.
Yeah,
and I don't know where else it extends to and everything, but it's been a cool day today.
I used to call you a bag of milk.
Yeah, melted
candle.
And then
Pete DeBoer started calling me a bag of milk. And I thought, that's kind of mean. And now I feel bad for calling Colby a bag of milk.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, sometimes it's warranted a little bit. Yeah.
Hey, whenever I pick up the phone and talk to you, it's like we've talked for the last 20 days. It's so awesome. So
thanks buddy,
for doing this, pal. Same. I appreciate it. And great job. I love you being between the benches was cool.
Yeah.
I was proud of you on that.
Yeah. You know what? That's like, I can honestly say of all the things that I've done now and like podcast stuff or doing this, like you're doing, which I find to be tough, is interviewing people, talking to people, that job, or sitting on a panel, that job, like you're in the game. Like, I think that's awesome. You're just like, it's so intense. You're back down at ice level. You're right in the mix of it and you're working. Get out of here. That's
pretty
easy.
Do you talk to the players every now and then?
Oh yeah. They come and talk to me. They're like, hey, like they want to see my monitor and stuff, or like what happened. They're always asking me stuff down there. So it's kind of cool being down in there. And then I get to see guys like Lindy Ruff, who coached me at world championships. You know, other coaches or trainers that I know throughout the league. Yeah. So, you know, that's kind of the fun thing about being down in there also.
You're a big deal again.
Well, yeah. And I'm trying to stay out of the way too. I'm like, hey, if my nose gets in the way, just let me know. I mean, this thing has a mind of its own and that's obvious. So yeah, it's, I have a hard time winding down after that job too, Darren, you know, being on live TV can, you know, I'm sure it's lost. It's like kind of for you, you've been doing it a long time, but being like in the game, it's like, oh man,
there's nothing like it.
Yeah. You're like, okay, I gotta go to bed now. How do I sleep after this? So it's like, I was playing again. And I think that's, as, you know, in this job, I think that's as close as you get to playing again.
Yeah. Except for being an e-bug. I think you could be an e-bug.
Yeah, e-bug would be electric. Hey, can you imagine that?
I would love you as an e-bug.
Oh, I love the e-bug. We got Mike Chase on here. He's almost gotten in a few times. The outdoor game in Boston, Jari got hurt. All of a sudden he's got the gear on. I was like, let's go. So and I know our good friend, Kenny Reed, he's there, but Mike Chason's from Halifax. So he's like a big, like, he loves this guy and he gets in a game. He can't wait to buy his jersey. So shout out to all the e-bugs out there. My guy Chaser here in Pittsburgh.
Be good, buddy. Awesome. And say hi to the family.
All right. Same to you. Same to you. Enjoy the run, buddy.
Had to get into the mental health side of it. Anxiety, it kind of runs parallel. It shouldn't, but a lot of times it gets left off to the side. Like, you're nervous, you're just having trouble getting through that. Well, it's just as much as depression and everything else that falls under that umbrella. And Colby has been so awesome at fighting through that and thriving through that and seeing him do well. There's certain coaches that would cause anxiety. I don't think the guys that are into the Final Four are like that. You've got some really interesting characters. Paul Maurice, who I go back when he was a 28-year-old, youngest coach in the National Hockey League, and now he's like one of the older guys, and he coached the guy that he's going to play against in Rod Brind'Amour. That's really a neat story, and he's so reflective, and his perspective on it is amazing. And Rod is just gets you to run through a wall. So a little different approaches with that, a series between Carolina and Florida. And in the West, you've got Pete DeBoer and that connection to Vegas, having coached on the Strip for the last 3 years and going up against his former team. Nobody expected it to happen this fast, And remember, Pete was the enemy before he coached into Vegas. So he's done a real tour between San Jose, Vegas, being in Vegas, and now coaching the Dallas Stars, who he faced in the bubble in 2020. And Bruce Cassidy, his first year. And tell me there isn't part of the aura around Bruce Cassidy that's enjoying life right now. He watched Boston go through this record-setting season, and who's still standing at the end of the halfway point to the Stanley Cup championship? Bruce Cassidy gets through the high-flying Edmonton Oilers, survives the Winnipeg series in five games. Just some incredible coaching stories. And a lot of times I think coaching plays too much of a role, but it is a factor this year. Three of the four guys are new coaches to their organization. I don't think that's a fluke. I think there's a real impact there. Conn Smythe Trophy winners, Aho, he's 19th in Stanley Cup playoff scoring with Jordan Martineau. 19th. Can you have a Conn Smythe Trophy winner come from that far back? I think you can based on that team. If you give that team the respect it deserves and how it's built, and it might be a defenseman, it might be Slavin, who's got that amazing plus 14. Can plus minus really influence the Conn Smythe voting? Never before, ever. And I don't think it should in the future, but the way that team's built, yeah. I love the Jack Eichel commentary, but then anybody who gets caught for Vegas for the next couple of series could come out of that. Chandler Stephenson, Mark Stone, Riley Smith, Jonathan Marchessault with the hat trick in the closeout game against Edmonton. There is a cast of characters up front for the Vegas Golden Knights. And then you've got Matthew Tkachuk, Sergei Bobrovsky. Bobrovsky might be the only goalie. He is the only goalie. Unless Ottinger comes through. Now I'm waffling. But so far, Ottinger's not that Conn Smythe Trophy candidate for Dallas. The forwards are there. Certainly, Roope Hintz. And I love Heiskanen. Ottinger's got to be more impactful in games. I think he's been good. His ability to rebound and in his wins. Look at his stats. Don't look at them, but just take my word for it. I'm not giving you homework on this podcast, but his stats in wins are incredible. And you're saying, well, of course, losses are going to be bad, but look at them in wins. And now he's halfway. Being able to dial in your game for that night, and it doesn't matter whether you go 7 or whether you go 5, in those wins, his numbers in wins are incredible, even head-to-head with the other guys in their wins. So a lot of fun in this. But I'm going to say if Carolina wins the Stanley Cup, it will be a defenseman. And if any of the other three teams win the Stanley Cup, it'll be a forward. And this is the year where I'm stroking the goalie out of the mix, which basically guarantees that Ottinger, Bobrovsky, or Aiden Hill will have it. Thanks to Bob Bender. Looking forward to this start of the conference finals. We'll see what happens in a week's time when we have more of a handle on things gearing towards the Stanley Cup final. Can't wait for everybody to hopefully come to Vegas in a couple of weeks for Media Day. We'll talk to you then on The Chirp with Darren Millard.